Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines. Can they catch him? No! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show with myself, Jim Rutledge, and Pablo Iglesias, starts now live on ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube channels. Welcome in. And today we got a fun show. Jim Polzine from Badger Extra / Wisconsin State Journal will be joining us in a little bit. Pablo, we did a extra edition of this show earlier in the week on the news that John Blackwell is going to be departing the University of Wisconsin via either the NBA draft or the more likely possibility of the portal. A 6'4" guard. I've seen them as high as number 2 and no lower than number 3 as far as top players in the transfer portal. Most places have him as the number 1 guard. And man, it would be awesome if we rooted for a school that could keep a player or get a player like that. Wouldn't it, fellas?
It would be. It would be. I think I'm just so – it just hurts still because it's gone. I want him to get his bag. I want him to go be successful. I'd love to see him flourish at the NBA level, but either way, it's just the nature of where we're at. I mean,
Where are we at? Like, because that's what it, like. Yeah. You say that, and I don't mean this. And Riley, you can hop in too. I don't mean that in like you're saying it wrong. Everyone says where we're at. By we, do you mean where Badger Athletics is?
So, no. Because
that's what the answer should be.
It's where we're at overall. I look at this as the big picture. Where Wisconsin is at, I'm not thrilled by it by any means. And I want to do some more homework on what the bill had been passed with how this. So does this affect taxpayer money? That's what I'd want to try to figure out.
So if you're talking about just separately
to give
Tony Evers today. Basically signed into law something that was passed. He decided not to veto it. It's a little bit less money than was passed, but most of it is coming over $14 million, I think, per year.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding of it will go towards basically capital improvements for the athletic department, but that does free up funds for the athletic department that didn't use for capital. So it's not directly for NIL, but because the university will have money freed up instead of having to use their own money for capital expenses. So starts for all intents and purposes, it is NIL money.
Yeah. It starts to teeter down, though. So it frees up opportunity to spend more NIL money.
Where is this money coming from? Mm. We're not getting taxed more from it, but it's coming from someone else is losing money. Some other part of the things the government funds is losing money for these dollars. I think we come back to that at a different time. It's a different conversation.
Thank you for explaining.
Yes, but to this thing here, I think where Wisconsin is at, to me, is frustrating because everyone else lives in the same world in college athletics. And this isn't year one in this world, Pablo, and you and I get it. It's a weird world. There's over half the players in college basketball are in the transfer portal, more in the transfer portal than on a team. Which is probably not good for the student-athlete part of it. But this is the world we operate in. And that's why I asked you as far as we fans have no control over what happens. The athletic department shouldn't really be spending its time or efforts really trying to change the current landscape of how things are operating in the world with NIL. Let the big wigs do that. Their job should be, how do we succeed in this world? And I do feel like there's too much hand-wringing about, well, I don't like this world, so let's try to fix the contracts and let's try to fix the dollars instead of saying, let's just go get more money. Because the nice thing, in theory, about sales is that there's no cap on what you're doing. So the athletic department, nobody's capping the athletic department's ability to go get more business partners and advertising partners to go out and raise more funds. Nobody's putting a cap on that except for the athletic department by their actions. Like, so I get frustrated because I don't see a world where the Badgers should be this far below a Michigan in operating cash flow. And I know, like, so you had some numbers from Forbes, Pablo, the other day. Do you remember those with Michigan and UConn and the money they spent?
So based off of this, I believe that UConn spent roughly around $21.5 million from front office sports for their basketball roster, and Michigan only spent 10. So it's not like necessarily that you have to be the top spender to be the championship. Hey, it's great for UConn that they were in the championship game, but it just proves it's how smart you are with your money too, right? It's not just the big dollar amount. Everybody can be like, oh, we're the big spender. We're the New York Yankees in a way. We have this big budget. We're going to go out and get all these big names because we have the deeper pockets and we can do that. No, it's about how are you being strategic with it too? Because, well, I want to ask you too, Jim, like, do you feel like from the sales perspective, do you think Wisconsin's getting in its own way then based off of spending and what they're doing right now? How do you feel about that?
Well, those are two different – on the spending side of it, that's obviously not on the sales part of it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And like this year, I would say Rapp, I'm sure for what he was paid, was a success. Boyd was an absolute success. Keeping Blackwell, the right move. Rhodey, I'm sure it wasn't expensive, but like that was kind of it was fine. Mm-hmm. No, do no harm kind of thing. AB, who's leaving, do no harm. It was fine. Like,
sure, Braden Carrington was worth it for whatever they brought him in
but,
from Minnesota.
For like, you know, I'm sure they didn't overpay any of these guys, but also like, and he made more of an impact than I think maybe we thought. And keeping Nolan, it was fine. It was a smart, like, they had one dynamic they've had every year. Tanjay was a great move. And then obviously keeping Blackwell was great this year, and then obviously bringing in Boyd. But I think they need more money. They don't even need Michigan money, but... And none of this is directly reported because these are not, I mean, the funds are not available to the public per se. Like, you can kind of, and Forbes can do some investigating, and those are probably pretty close to real numbers. But for most of the world, that these numbers aren't readily available. But I still have this gut feeling that Wisconsin, and this goes back to my, we don't have to get caught up in the words, blue blood and mid-major.
Are you sure you don't want to?
Well, because, again, that's how I proved that I won, is that people got caught up in the semantics of the words. Wisconsin's budget seems like it's a lot closer to High Points than it is Michigan's.
You know, I mean, I know that you don't want to touch it, but I'll go into this and actually...
And I don't mind touching it. I just, the actual words, mid-major and blue blood, got people all triggered. But the Badgers are not spending money like a big major.
Well, yeah, 100%. I mean, it is almost like the mid-major type of mindset, too, of if you can't spend the money. And again, it's when I say this, I'm not pointing towards the coaching and the development. The coaches are doing the right things. They're doing the right stuff, and they're smart about, one, how are they building this roster? But also, like, again, this comes from the higher-ups. This is people above Greg Gard and his staff of, okay, how can we, as you said, Jim, get more dollars and bring it in? We don't want to cap ourselves. Where's the other opportunities that we can keep building to bring more funds in and help this program keep growing? Because if we're successful but we're coming up short, there's an opportunity for us to make sure that we still stay competitive. And again, it's from the if this is the way that you're looking at it, I mean, John Blackwell is essentially getting poached, whether or not, like, hey, if he makes it to the NBA draft and ends up like impressing scouts, awesome, but more than likely he's going to be going to a different institution because of if he didn't have major scholarship offers from the beginning. Wisconsin clearly developed him into a player that he is the top guard in the transfer portal based off a lot of reports. He's the number two from what you're saying. Then that's kind of like what mid-majors have basically gone through. As somebody who has went to a mid-major school, that's basically what the mindset is. It's like, you know what? And I know Wisconsin isn't advertising themselves as this, but this is what their program is basically being seen as. Let's actually even look at the football team, too. You have Preston Zachman. You have Joe Brunner that are now going to Indiana. You have Christian Allegro that's at Ohio State. You have three guys right there that were top-tier players that are now going to, within the same conference too, very big power schools because how they were developed here, and who knows what other money, what other dollars they were given. But that's my point here, is that it's almost like this is the mid-major operation, is that they are being developed and now going out to bigger name schools or programs with a lot more success to play at a higher level.
And so, they're a middle of, this is middle of the major behavior.
So I'll back you up
see,
on
that,
this.
See, that's the thing though. I don't think... I'm going to push back slightly. They're definitely not spending. Like, let's just look at college basketball right now. We got essentially confirmation from Kentucky head coach Mark Pope that they spent about $22 million on their roster, which is insane.
That's unreal.
And they lost in the second round. They lost in the round of 32.
Yeah. Wisconsin, what do we think, like 7?
I'm thinking around 10. I think
they spent as much as Michigan?
Close. Mm-hmm. I think they probably
then
spend
that's an indictment on the team.
I think they spend around $10 million. Because High Point spent, at least from this article I read in The Athletic, that they spent around $4 million on their basketball team. So I'm willing to bet that you have the absolute top, your Kentuckys, your Dukes, Illinois is in here spending at least $18 million on their roster or just spending for basketball. So $20 million, I feel like, is near the top. Your $4-5 million is near the bottom. I think Wisconsin spends around $10 million. I think they're right in the middle of the road when it comes to spending, and I don't think that's been enough.
I'm very curious to see what based off of what
is not enough. I feel like they're closer to $7 million. If Michigan's at 10 or 11, then I feel like our roster looks nowhere close to Michigan's roster.
Exactly.
I think Gard does a good job building the roster. So like I think that this isn't a matter of Gard not picking the right guy. Look, there is a case to be made that Gard needs to do what Michigan did, and that's put together a team of, instead of one John Tonjay or Nick Boyd, you don't have any young guys, and you just pull in a group of assassins that come in every year, and they're all 22 years old, and they all figure out how to play together by the time the tournament rolls around.
Second, third team all-conference guys, I feel like. And again, this is asking for a little bit. We're basically almost in a video game-esque situation, maybe putting the roster together. But, I mean, what you said with the group of assassins, like, look at the guys that are the all-conferences. As much as fun as it was to have, Nick Boyd this past season, and then John Tonja the year before, and even A.J. Storr, too, those were electric players, but then where's that balance? How can we have a group across the board? You know, whether it's was it Jaxel Lendenborg?
Again, a good team, a premier team that spends money like a premier team has Tonjay, Boyd, and Storr together.
Yes,
like that's the team. Like that, all playing at the same day, and Blackwell, and you can play small. Like that team is a Final Four team, not one at a time. But if you had Blackwell, you have Boyd running the point, Blackwell at the two guard, and you put Storr at the three, and Tonjay is kind of that stretch 3-4 type player, and then you put Nolan Winter in the middle, that's a hell of a basketball team. And yeah, they're small, but like that's a team that competes in when it matters the most. And we talked about this on the Extra. It matters the most in the postseason. I understand it's a weird one-and-done setup, but 10 years ain't it. Like, we're pushing 10 years since we got Sweet 16. It's a different story, and I always defended Bo Ryan when it was all he does is get to the Sweet 16. Well, that's hard to do. There are some breaks, but you should be able to beat a High Point and win that first game every year. And if you lose the heartbreaker to BYU last year, in a vacuum, not a bad game. But when it's part of a pattern of the Badgers always losing these games, that's where it gets tougher. So you look micro, BYU lost, not so bad. And you could go back to certain losses and be like, it's not that bad. But when they're compiling, then they are that bad. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where, and I know we got to move on here. This is unsolvable, but for the love of God, I'm getting tired of feeling like Creighton is what is aspirational for us. Like what Creighton is doing in the Big East, and they have it's Elite Eight and a Sweet 16 and the same amount of tournament appearances as the Badgers over the last since 2017. Like,
no,
can we do that?
Yeah,
it'd be nice, And while I feel like we're arguing over the level of money, the exact number, we're never going to know the exact number. But I think it's pretty clear that we all know they need to spend more money, and that they were ill-prepared for this era of college athletics. I feel like that's blatantly obvious.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's talk about Badgers.
Badgers we're always for talking, life.
We're always talking about Badgers, right? Isn't
Badgers
that what we do here?
For life here. And, man, John, this kind of, I guess, sparked some controversy amongst Badger fans when Blackwell said, once a Badger, always a Badger. And I think it's an interesting conversation we could have here. He put that in his goodbye note of we have to readdress this. Because, look, there was an article in The Athletic, and it went through every team in the Big Ten. It said the last time a team recruited a guy, developed that quarterback, and had that quarterback finish their career at their university. And, look, Illinois was Nathan Shielhaus. It wasn't like it's not just a Wisconsin thing. So, but for Wisconsin, I sent you guys the name. It was Joel Stavi. And obviously we're talking football there, but the days of a Joel Stavi type, and you talk about, like, Joel Stavi is a Badger for life. The Monte Ball, Melvin Gordons. I honestly think, for me, I adjust Badger for life, or once a Badger, always a Badger, is literally once you're a Badger, 1 year, you're a Badger. Because here's what we also want to do. We can't have both ways. We all claim, or claimed, maybe not anymore, Russell Wilson.
All right.
He was 1 year Badger. So you can't say Badger for life for Russell and then Blackwell can't be a Badger for life. Mm-mm. This is professional sports. We have to readjust our expectations, in my opinion. Badger for life means exactly that. Once you're a Badger, you're always a Badger. Badger for life.
Yeah, I feel like that it's... You can't... It's the same way. Like, again, it's... I just look of... Looking in the vacuum of just this season alone of being the guy that rallies and says, like, we're the villains here. Like, I think just everything that you could just get behind John Blackwell behind and how he, again, developed over the years and just, like, how you just felt so connected and all of a sudden Badger fans will just turn like that. I just don't know. I think it's some.
I think it's very much the minority.
Yeah, and I do believe that there's more often than not, like, a lot of fans that back him up and still, like, appreciate everything that he gave. But if we're not going to say that he can't be a part of the Badger for life conversation, but it's like, again, Nick Boyd, and I know it's vastly different things. He was, you know, essentially a one-year guy with this. Same thing with John Tanjay. But when it comes down to it, like, if you're about embracing the culture, if you're about embracing, like, everything you brought, some great memories, and it never felt like that John Blackwell was a foot out of the door kind of guy, and nor, you know, did even Chucky Hepburn when he moved on. It's just, again, with where things are at, more so from the college landscape, not necessarily talking about the Badgers program specifically, but it's just a strange and a very different time where it's like, what is the quote right thing to do here? What do you do in this situation? If you're presented with X amount of money too, I'm sure that you have to at least entertain the idea.
Look,
but
yeah.
I'm going to go with this and just say, like, I'm still very much for the Badger for life here with John Blackwell no matter what.
Yeah, so I'm not hating on John Blackwell. I like John Blackwell. However, does the calculus not change if he goes to Michigan and kicks the crap out of Wisconsin next year, or if he goes to Illinois and beats Wisconsin next year? Like, that feels a lot different to me as a Badgers fan than if he goes to Duke.
Okay.
If he goes to Duke, never doesn't play Wisconsin next year, fine, best of luck, hope you do well. UConn, same thing, similar. But if he stays in the Big Ten and wants to claim Wisconsin for life, That doesn't not a Brewers show.
Please don't get him riled up for this. That's for Saturday.
Yes, exactly. Brewers City Connect C+. We'll talk about that Saturday.
Oh my god!
But that it just doesn't feel that feels different to me. If it's fine if he's being courted by teams in the Big Ten, but if he goes and plays for a rival school, I don't know how you call yourself a Badger for life.
So I get that. So you're applying, which I think is fair, professional rules to Blackwell.
Yes.
Because if, like, Prince Fielder, did you root for him when he left?
Yep. Yeah, when he was on the Tigers, wanted to see him succeed. Rangers, but the Brewers never played the Tigers. They never played the Rangers. So
yeah, I don't know if you were like
even Willy Adames right now, he's on the Giants.
Right.
Like, I want him to succeed. I don't care. He's not on a rival.
Colin Ray.
Colin Ray. I don't want him to succeed.
Is Brett Favre a Packer for life, even though he's with the Vikings?
See, that was different. That took time. And there are some Packers fans who I still don't think are on board with Brett Favre, and we're just talking about his playing days.
Yeah.
Like,
fair, yes.
There are some people that still don't like him for going to the Vikings. But that took a long time. So maybe if he goes to Illinois and beats Wisconsin, and then it's going to take years.
Okay, but
for people to come back around.
It's a prisoner of the moment, sure, but I feel like that he would still be adopted by the Badger. I still feel the same way about Chucky Hepburn. They put together great moments that Badger fans will always remember.
So with this, though, again, do you claim Russell?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just asking.
And Russell Wilson, but it's different when, like, a John Tanjay comes from Missouri and Colorado State and ends his career here.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, NC State, we didn't know him. He comes and ends his career here. It feels different than someone being here for a while and then going to a potential rival.
Yeah, and I'm honestly not trying to, I'm just trying to figure out, like, where we sit on this, because it's interesting, because it's not like Blackwell asked for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Blackwell wouldn't stay for money within the ballpark. And so he's going as basically a professional athlete to somewhere that will pay him properly for his services. And so, like, that's where it gets harder, because he's not asking to leave. He's just saying mm-hmm. that, like, I don't know what he'll get if the Badgers are paying him four and he might get seven. Like, he's going to get the whole Badgers bag.
Yeah,
from one guy. And so,
from what I heard, the Badgers offered him roughly $2.5 million, and he's going to get like $5 million.
Okay.
So someone's doubling his paycheck.
Yeah.
And
which if he's getting projected,
I know you're not mad at him.
Yeah. I don't blame him. But if you want to say you're a Badger for life,
but then who are you ever?
And he goes to Michigan.
Okay, so you're
Russell Wilson, a whole pack of Badgers.
If he leaves the Big Ten, he's a Badger for life. If he stays in the Big Ten,
those are parameters.
That's my limit. That's my parameter.
That's for all transfers then?
I would say so.
If you leave. All right.
Is Nick Boyd FAU for life? He's got to be.
So it's different for me. I don't have a direct rival. But, like, honestly, I've been kicking ass in the NCAA tournament brackets by just picking FAU. Like, last year I won.
Excuse me.
Yeah, last year. But I did it, and I picked FAU. Just because I wasn't mad at those guys, but I know what I got into, and this is kind of what I worry Wisconsin fans are still just learning what they're getting into. But, like, you're not going to have a world where you lose all of your guys like the Badgers, like the FAU did, but losing your top guys. So for me it was, all right, I'm going to go root for Elijah Martin in Florida. Why not? Like, good for him. I hope he does well. Nick Boyd at San Diego State, and obviously at Wisconsin.
Dusty May, too.
Joel Davis went to Arkansas.
Yeah.
But all those guys, except for Boyd last year, made the Sweet 16. And I guess it's just a Badgers problem. But
I guess so.
But then Dusty May takes over an 8-win team, brings Vlad Golden with them last year. They go to the Sweet 16 this year. They win the national championship. So I kind of won where I'm at. That's the expectation. Wisconsin's far from FAU in that expectation. All right, let's take a break. Let's get to the clip of the week.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Boo. Yeah, it is clip of the week. And, Jim, I believe you sent this video to us. This was
an
Oregon quarterbacks coach. there's nothing else to preface with. Just take a listen.
Like, I ask him a question like this all the time. Hey, do you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream? Yeah, the minute a kid pauses, I don't really want that kid. Right? Because you need to have some type of conviction. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Okay? Wild.
So whether you like chocolate or you like vanilla, I don't really care. But if you sit there and say, coach, I don't know. I want, is it melted? Is it not? What's the brand? So on and so forth. Like, what is this kid going to do on third down in front of 110,000? He's probably going to think about it more than he should. He's not going to have conviction, right? So it's, like I just said, long-winded, I understand, but it's the mental aspect. It's really what we're after.
All right, Pablo, cement mixer or Blizzard?
Go!
Blizzard.
All right.
That's so cool. They turned
Blizzard
it upside down.
Or McFlurry? Riley.
Blizzard.
Okay. All right. I guess you guys made it.
We can be quarterbacks for the University of Oregon. Let's go.
Let's do it. I'm back.
We qualified.
I'm back.
So quickly, my question. One, chocolate or vanilla? Go, Jim.
Chocolate.
Pablo.
Vanilla.
All right.
Plain vanilla rocks.
Interesting. All right. I like it.
That's
but
my
okay.
hot take.
Do you think, Cold is take. That actually a valid way to evaluate quarterbacks' decision making? Is asking them point blank chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
No.
It is a way. It's a way, but I hope it's not your only question that you're asking. I like the idea of it allows you to think on your feet and get creative. I mean, I like asking this question just to people in general because I like to hear what their answers are. I like to hear creativity, but maybe I'm exactly what he's not looking for is somebody who thinks about this answer thoroughly.
Yeah, like so I'd want a little thought process. I understand where he's coming from. It's just
like,
odd.
Like, I know my answer. Don't get me wrong. I know what it is, but here, and then it's like, here's why. So, yeah. It's like the same question I asked. Would you rather be lost at sea or lost in space?
Right. And so I would go with space. But I would I would say in this case, I think he has a general idea of what he's trying to do. It just...
Heart's there, but where's the head at?
It's a little too simple.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as Tauscher said on Jim, Matt, and Molly, when we asked him and played this for him, you want to be right more than you want to be quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of
really decisive thrown into the defender.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Twitter images of Dante. Was it Dante Moore?
Dante Moore?
Yeah, on that Indiana play. Yeah, first play of the game.
Yeah, picked the wrong ice cream. So, better to be right than to be quick on that. All right, let's get to the Twitter portal.
I want to know what questions Tausch got to during the process of draft and all that.
It is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And to start, we have been talking about the transfer portal. Nebraska basketball player, what is his name? Burke, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. He had Nebraska's basketball record tattooed on his arm and then entered the transfer portal the next day. What are we doing here? Number one. And two, is this one of the worst tattoos of all time now?
It's basically like if you're 16 years old and you think you're in love and you get your girlfriend's name like tattooed.
That's
your significant
worse.
Other.
That's worse.
Yeah. Well, that's what this feels like, though. It's like, why are you doing that? And it's just like,
he's a Husker for life.
I hate the location of the tattoo.
Yeah, right on like the...
It's too prominent for something that's not prominent in your life. I also hate that like... It just looks like someone wrote it on him.
Like a Sharpie.
Just like
that's a painful spot to, I'd imagine. Like, so, I think
right
there's a lot.
Right where you get shots?
I would just think of it in the idea that you don't have to. You could have made it a barcode. You know, and then you could have like added all the years of your college, like
QR code to my highlights.
Wait, no, but like, no, people have done that where they've done like a barcode thing, and like then you have the numbers going across, like so the numbers. At least blend in and they all have some meaning. It's at least something better than just randomly 28-7.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put it prominently where he's at either. But if you wanted to do some way to involve a tattoo that numbers make sense in, okay.
Yeah.
But just randomly 20, is he going to just run it down his arm forever?
Just all the records of different teams.
What if they're
just going to go down the line?
My eighth grade school basketball team when we won a championship or something like that. Am I going to put that my stat line? Like, is that what this
sounds
is going
like,
to be?
Sounds like you want to.
I'll be honest. Actually, yeah. Surprise. That's what I'm about to do, boys.
All right. Well, moving on. While I don't like Ike Badger's podcast whatsoever. This did catch my eye. All the Ike, it sucks. But regardless.
They were mad at me for something.
Of course. They get mad at everyone for everything.
Yeah, it's your mid-major take, Jim. Come on.
I don't think it was a mid-major take.
No, it was something about the budgets.
Yeah.
But that's enough. Talk about that.
Yeah, there we go.
This tweet of theirs did catch my eye. Credit where credit's due. And in quotes, they put, Wisconsin doesn't have the same spending power as other schools while listing the number of Fortune 500 CEOs that every university in the country has. And Wisconsin is number one with 14 Fortune 500 CEOs. My question for you guys, do you think this is money that Wisconsin can actually tap into, or more of just a lucky coincidence that Wisconsin is also a great academic school?
My gut tells me that this podcast number, they don't understand how fundraising works, that especially with the NIL. Like, I understand that there are like some schools have a person. But you can't.
It's like the Timu guy. Isn't he from?
Yes.
Isn't he a University of Wisconsin graduate? And it's just like. Okay.
The whole point of NIL and the way that you can make consistent money year in and year out in NIL is through true NIL, name and likeness, and bringing businesses in. Because what the businesses do, you could take this as part of their yearly operating cash flow and call it their marketing dollars and then get $10 million a year from AmFam towards NIL and $10 million a year from Molson Coors for NIL and $10 million a year from Gruber for NIL, and you're just running it through all these businesses over and over again, and then that fills your NIL coffers to rely on a big daddy donor. I don't think that is the current way it's going to work. Yes, that helps, but this isn't where you can rely on Ted Kellner. That's our problem currently, is you're trying to find a big wig donor, and also
just trying to make it top heavy. What you're saying, right?
You don't want to spend other people's money. What is the? We use this term in our end of things for sales. Whiff them. What is it? What's in it for the Timu guy? What's in it for these other people outside of if they weren't donating money in the first place? They might not be football fans or athletic fans. So what is the purpose? And this is the issue I think the Badgers have with the NIL is they don't have great whiff them.
Yep.
Of like, why am I giving you $2 million? I don't get an advertisement. I just say that I gave money to the NIL. So, like, you're forgetting for the CEOs here, the WIF, why are they doing this? If they're not already doing it, why would they start doing it now? What's in it for them?
Yeah, I feel like...
So you as a fan and a podcast can feel better about it?
Yeah, I actually... It's bananas thinking about this, that this was my mindset before of, like, how selfish could you be if, like, you don't want your name or, like, or it's, like, you don't want to donate to the LNIL because it's, like, oh, I'd rather, you know, donate and put something in my name. But I think the way that you put it now is convinced me to change my mind otherwise. It's, like, yeah, the WIFM idea, it's, like, I want to contribute X amount to, you know, have this portion, you know, named after our family and something like that in honor of. So...
Something.
Yeah, yeah, you flipped my mindset on that one, so I'll give you that. Great sale on that.
See,
good
and
job,
I will say, as someone who went to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, I knew so many students that did not give a rip about sports at Wisconsin. Did the vast majority at least care a little bit about athletics? Sure. But there were a ton who, they went to Wisconsin to play school, and they only cared about school. They wanted a degree, and they wanted to be successful.
Because Wisconsin's a pretty elite university, especially 100%. In the
Midwest. Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't blame these Fortune 500 CEOs. There's only 14 of them. They're probably incredibly successful at what they do and probably pretty dialed in on business.
Yeah.
If Wisconsin athletics, while it is forefront of my mind and a lot of our minds, I don't blame them if it's not on.
And again, at best, you're going to get, like, a one-time donation. A Fortune 500 CEO, like... Great, they're making money, but, like, that's still not business. Like, that's out of my personal cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I might, and they might be willing to give, like, all right, I will give a percentage. They all give $1 million. That might not be, I don't even know what a Fortune 500 CEO makes here, but yeah. $2 million might be it. So $1 million might be, they might do a one-time donation of $1 million to help them out tax-wise, and that's all you're going to get. Like, the continued cash flow is not even... CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, it's the, you know, again, the Ted Kellners of the world, the people with B behind their name. That's the ones you could really count on to constantly give money. But more realistically, again, it's going back to the businesses and getting the businesses to view working with you and working with your brand and working with these athletes as a way to generate revenue and brand awareness for them. That's how you could get money. This isn't that hard.
There you go. You cracked the code.
This is, I mean, it's and professional it's sports. This is how professional sports do it. The Green Bay Packers call people up and say, hey, we're the Packers. We're good for your brand. We're going to give you a brand lift. Give me money. And people go, okay, here's your money. We can't argue with that.
And now.
What do the Badgers do? You have the privilege of saying you gave money to the Badger program that's winning 5 games a year? Pass.
That's the thing where winning comes into play as well. Winning heals all. As Jim Polzin joins, this came across my desk yesterday as well. From College Football Zone, they just listed the most career rushing touchdown leaders in Big Ten history. So I want you guys to take a look. There are 5 Badgers on this list. Who would you want as your running back today for the Wisconsin Badgers if you could just pick one name on this list?
And that's to just for a game or to score a touchdown?
This is, I'd say, for the whole season. If you could pick one of these running backs for Wisconsin football for this season to be on the 2026 Wisconsin Badgers, which one of these names are you picking?
Sorry to our guy Mel. I know he's one of our guys, but I got to go JT. JT, I feel like, he's excelling in the league, both a pass catcher and a running back, too. I mean, it's if you could get that dynamic type of talent in the backfield, JT is who I'd go with today.
I'm going Melvin. His numbers could have been bigger if we were talking about some of these schools did.
Mel, don't get mad at me for this, please.
Yeah, that was Pablo that said that, Melvin.
Hey, man. don't do that.
See, I would go with... it's tough. I love Melvin. I love Jonathan Taylor. I mean, I kind of just want... I want to see Monte Ball get after it again. Yeah. Monte Ball or... Jeff Grimes, he's more of a downhill. I thought about maybe James White receiving threat out of the backfield as well. But Monte Ball... Feel like he'd be pretty great. He'd be pretty great.
Now I feel like we're a bunch of idiots. Nobody said Ron Dayne.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I feel like I'm justified not saying Ron Dayne because I'm young. I wasn't born when
That's
Ron Dayne
true.
Was playing.
I only got to see Ron Dayne in snippets.
Honestly,
every single moment of what Ron Dayne, what was it like watching Ron Dayne in real time?
Ron Dayne's amazing. I mean, he's honestly one of the strongest people you'll be around with his lower body, and his feet were incredibly quick and impossible to bring down.
True.
And a great running back. Honestly, I went with Melvin because of the offense a little bit. I feel like this specific offense would use a running back like Melvin to run the football a ton. All right, I want to tell everyone about April. It is Sleep Awareness Month. Invest in your sleep that your body deserves and get $300 in Steinhoffel cash with the Tempur-Pedic mattress purchase. At Steinhoffel's, experience the unmatched comfort and support of Tempur-Pedic mattresses designed to adapt to your body and to help you wake up feeling refreshed. Upgrade your sleep experience when you add a smart base that automatically adjusts to snoring, because better night sleeps lead to better days. Celebrate Sleep Awareness Month and sleep better. Relax. It's Steinhoffel's. Jim Polzin next.
Steinhoffel's believes your home should be as unique as you are. During our Best Brand Sale, bring home incredible style and unbeatable comfort. Save up to 30% on all of our best brands throughout your home, including Steinhoffel's special order options to make it your own. Because when every detail reflects your style, it truly feels like home. Steinhoffel's Best Brand Sale is happening now. Relax, it's Steinhoffel's.
And we are now joined by Jim Polzin. He joins us on the Yuengling Guest Hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. DG Yuengling and Sons, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. That worked out great. Jim sat down as I was doing my Yuengling read there. So, he's got the glasses, too. We're going to get smart Jim today. Jim, how are you doing today?
Jim Polzin, old guy, has progressives now, so.
This old guy does too. I don't wear them often, but I do put them on once in a while.
I'm getting used to them yet. So.
That's the thing. The Pablo, you'll learn this one day, is that like I tried to use them for the show, but when I look up to the computer or to you, you'll be all blurry. So I've pocketed them because it doesn't work for the show. It's nice to be able to read my notes up close, but then when I look at anyone, they're all
so I just look like a blur right
well,
now?
No, I'm not wearing them. I have my contacts in, but... That's what I'm trying to figure out with my progressives. Mm-hmm. So Jim Polzin is now the fourth person in the last week that I've talked to around my age that is dealing with progressives. So now I feel less bad about it, Jim. So I appreciate that.
Thanks for giving me a glimpse into the future.
Yeah, there you go. Something to look forward to, Pablo. Jim, can you help us with this? With Wisconsin, let's just focus on basketball, first of all. I think fans, at least I'll speak for myself, like I have Blackwell going somewhere else, like, good for him. He's going to make his money. I think that's how the program views it as well. But I think there's also frustration that Wisconsin seems to be a school that is now, like, the minor leagues are just developing great players to go play somewhere else. It happens in football, too, that Wisconsin plucks from San Diego State or Missouri, FAU, those types, up to Wisconsin, and then when, let's say, Illinois or Michigan or Duke wants someone really good, they can just pluck from the Badgers, which puts them kind of in the middle of major schools, which I think is frustrating. I don't know the way out of it for Wisconsin.
No, that's the thing. Like, I don't know the way out of it for Wisconsin. I don't know the way out of this mess for NCAA in general, right? Like, it's like, guys, we could sit here and talk about this for an hour mm-hmm. every day for a month. We really could, because yep. there's so many facets to it. It's a complicated thing, and there's no easy solution to it. And in terms of Wisconsin, you're right. Like Greg Gard's put in a position every year where he's only got a limited budget and he's got to make tough decisions. And could he have paid John Blackwell what he asked? Yes, the money's there, but it would have been surrounding John with a team of just the guys. Right. And then you don't have a good team. You can't rely on one player. So now he's got to make some tough financial decisions and hope you keep finding diamonds in the rough that can keep you competitive year to year.
And off of that, the same side, positively, I think Greg Gard is like the perfect coach for Wisconsin, because I think if he was someone that had less personal ties to Wisconsin, he could get lured by somewhere else that would offer him more flexibility with money, and I think people would want to lure him, but he's not going to go anywhere, and he knows how to win within the parameters. It's almost like the Brewers or the Moneyball aspect of it, Jim. But what I always say is that Moneyball, you talk about all you want, the Athletics didn't win a World Series. So Moneyball can get the Badgers to be fun and be the Brewers again, but it still leaves them short. But I do think that Greg Gard is honestly like the best coach possible for Wisconsin.
I agree. Like, I don't think he'll go anywhere. Smart, loves the place. Like, nobody loves this program more than a guy who's been here for 25 years. I think he surrounded himself with the right people. I think he's been willing to embrace this new era, even if he doesn't like it. I think that's important. Like, yep. He's changed his offense. He's changed his staff. I think every year they kind of take a critical look at themselves to see what they could do different. And, you know, it's, again, like I'll say this, it's not easy to be competitive year in, year out. They've done that. He's got to find a way to get over the hump. I think he'd be the first to admit that. I don't know how you do that. I think that's another complicated thing. But it's Brewers in this way is that you want to keep giving yourself bites at the apple, and Wisconsin basketball has been able to do that over and over.
Jim, I know, and I agree with you, we could have this conversation hours on end about the, you know, NIL and how it's consistently growing and where we're at, but what do you believe has been a common misconception that, you know, fans may or may not truly understand about, like, where Wisconsin's at in this NIL world right now?
I don't know about misconceptions. Mm-hmm. I think there are some. I think there's confusion is how probably – I don't think people understand how it works. And we've written countless stories at the State Journal about this. But, you know, there's – people hear revenue sharing. There's $20.5 million worth of revenue sharing. But nobody knows how Wisconsin's distributing that revenue sharing. And then within – like if a basketball program's getting X amount, nobody knows how that amount is getting distributed among players, right? So I just think there's a lot of confusion among fans. I don't think fans, and I'll say this, I don't know the true numbers. I believe I have a pretty good idea what the true numbers are in terms of player salary. But I don't think Joe and Jane Fan understand just how much these guys are getting paid. You know, I don't think they've quite wrapped their arms and grasped that. So that's maybe one misconception is that, you know, there's nobody knows how much anybody's getting paid. And I think people think it's a year to year, everything's the same year to year. No, I think every year the number just keeps getting bigger and Wisconsin's got to grow its number. But even if Wisconsin grows its number, so is Illinois, so is Michigan, so is Indiana. And I think Wisconsin's still kind of in chase mode. And that's, I don't see that getting fixed. I just don't see that changing.
And so I think part of the issue here is the term NIL, because this is not name and likeness. I mean, it's just not. I mean, there's very few. I mean, we work with Iron Jock and Isaac Miller, and he is endorsing a brand, and Braylon Allen did that before. That's name and likeness. Getting paid by the university through a subsidiary like NIL is just getting paid to play football. And I think that right there, Jim, is part of the trickiness for it. But you touched on something else with Wisconsin. My concern is more on the, I mean, obviously football coaching hasn't been exactly what we want, but when I think I look at basketball, to me it seems more on the operation side of it, of like, how are they raising these funds? Because I can talk to plenty of business owners, and they're not thrilled with the bang for their buck, the what's in it for them. And it's like, okay, I give you this money, and then what happens? This is just another donation? Like, I thought it was a name and likeness to it. What do I get for it? And I think that's a big concern. So on the actual fundraising side of it, forget even how they spend it, I don't think they are innovative or cream of the crop into that. And a school like Wisconsin, because there's only maybe less money available than Michigan, they really need to be finding all the loopholes to be able to get as much money as possible. And I just don't see that happening right now.
Yeah, that's fair criticism. I think one thing that's happened is Wisconsin's kind of been in chase mode the entire way. You know, July 1st, 2021, NIL goes into effect. Collective started forming shortly thereafter. Wisconsin's collective really didn't get going for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then even then there was hiccups. And then I think for the longest time, Wisconsin's athletic department thought that, oh, the rules are going to, things are going to get less crazy and the rules are going to, there's going to be hard rules you have to follow. People are going to stop cheating. If you do cheat, you're going to get punished. Well, that never happened. And so Wisconsin kind of took the high road in a lot of ways, and it's just been it's perpetual catch-up mode. And, you know, meanwhile, other schools are kind of just getting further and further away from them. So I think that's a fair criticism. I think they want to do the right thing. I think that's fair. But I don't know that their competitors are wanting to do the right thing or practicing that, you know, what they preach. So I don't know how it gets fixed. I really don't. Like it's sort of, it's depressing if you think about it, because I don't see a solution. I was just talking to somebody, and like, ultimately you got to get to a place where there's student athletes are considered employees and there's a collective bargaining arm to this.
Yep.
But getting to that point, is very, very tricky, because football is very different than men's basketball, is very different than wrestling, than volleyball. You have non-revenue sports. Like, there are 600 student athletes on the Wisconsin campus, 600 plus. How do you treat Colton Joseph the same as the women's cross country runner? How are those two on equal terms in terms of a union and a collective bargaining arm? I don't know. I don't know how you get there. And that's the tricky part. I think everybody's kind of see that that's where this is heading. I don't know how you organize that in a way that it works for everybody. And then, like I just mentioned, within Wisconsin, well, Wisconsin's different than UWGB. Mm-hmm. How do you get all these schools to agree? There's 300 some Division I basketball schools. How do you get them to agree on rules and regulations? I think there's probably going to be a break off of the power conferences at some point, but even that's got complications to it. So I know I use that word a lot, but it's very complicated. I think if it was easy, somebody would have figured it out by now. There's so many people with their hand in the pie right now that I don't know how you get everybody to agree on what works and what doesn't.
And I used to do a show with Pat Richter, and former Wisconsin athletic director, and this was before NIL came into place. He kind of kept on foretelling a story where college basketball would be its own separate entity, that it really just wouldn't be an NCAA sport anymore. And I'm wondering if, like, that is what, and you talked about with the power conferences, I feel like that's could be what's happening, where you're licensing the name of Wisconsin for a school that, but these athletes are not technically student athletes unless they want to be. And same thing with basketball. He picked basketball because he thought it was dirtier than football and easier to pull off. But I think that some sort of world where these are not going to be part of the institution is not impossible to think about.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. Again, I don't know quite how you get there. And our football and men's basketball on the same, you know, it's just all of it's very, very confusing. And like you brought up something there too, like unless you want to be a student athlete, right? What do you do to the kid that actually wants to come play basketball and also wants to get an education? Like you treat him differently than the kid that just wants to come here and make a big paycheck. It's weird. And I think like one thing I was thinking of too, like sort of mentioned this with corporations and donors. And this is not, please don't take this as a judgment of if those people are listening, I'm not telling them how to spend their money. I would never do that. I think a large chunk of Wisconsin athletic donors want to put their money towards the things they value, scholarships, their names on buildings, things that last a long time, not the point guard that's going to get a $1.5 million paycheck, right? Like that's, I think that's the old time, the long time donor who's worked really, really hard for his money or her money doesn't want to do that. And I understand it.
Yeah.
Like, again, I'm not telling people how they should spend their money, but I think there's a different culture here of people that give money than there are at some other places. And that's fine. It's part of what makes Wisconsin special. But I think it does make it more challenging if you're the coach or the athletic director trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Jim, I know you touched on it a little bit, and I agree, is that it does feel like that Wisconsin is, I think you said chase mode, essentially. I think that's a perfect way of putting this. Again, football, I think, is still trying to find its footing, trying to find that true stability even after an aggressive portal season. But let's go with basketball, for instance. Like, what do you feel like has worked in their favor, even in this changing landscape, that basketball has still done well to at least be successful and part of a conversation for bigger things to keep competing?
Yeah, good question, Pablo. I mean, I think Greg Gard has surrounded himself with the right people and kept a vision of how things were here, a culture that you want to keep some of those pillars while also embracing what you have to in this new era of college basketball. So he surrounded himself with good people. Like Mark Van de Wettering, their general manager, is like one of the brightest people I've ever met. And I think he's, you know, I would not trade that guy for the world. And I think Greg Gard would agree with that, right? So having a guy like that in place, phenomenal. I think his coaching staff, he's found the right mix of evaluators and guys that can look in different places, overseas, and through the transfer portal. He's kind of – everybody's got their own specialty on that staff, and that's good. And I guess the bottom line is I think they've done a tremendous job evaluating. Like I think this is a staff that knows how to evaluate, which is maybe where I would say the criticism on the football side should fall a little bit. I don't know if Luke Fickle's staff has done a good enough job evaluating. Certainly the basketball side has done better, and that's allowed them to stay in it. So you go out and find a guy like AJ Storr that is ready to make a jump. You go out and find a guy that Nick Boyd that'll be kind of the perfect match. You find a Tanjay at a really, really good price. And that's what they're going to have to do now, yep. guys. They're going to have to the money they could have spent on John Blackwell, okay, you didn't get him, right? It'd be foolish to spend that much money. So what do? You go out and spend that same amount of money on two or three guys, and you hope one of those guys is ready to make a big jump and become the next great wing at Wisconsin. And I don't know, like I have no reason to doubt that Greg Gard's going to do that at this point. Like, he's done it X amount of years in a row, right? So you got to keep doing it again. And I think that's an awful way to live if you're a coach. Like, part of me feels bad for him. He's making a lot of money, so I don't feel too bad for him. But, yeah. You know, you end a season on March whatever, and then you jump right into building another roster. And that's not the way it used to be, and it sucks, I think, for those guys. But it's just the way of the world.
Jim, you mentioned that this is just the way of the world now and that Wisconsin's really in catch-up mode as a department right now. But as Badgers fans, is there anything positive we can look at that the department
Riley,
has done?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find reasons for optimism moving forward as someone who wants this to see these programs succeed. Is there anything that Wisconsin has done that fans can look at and be like, they did this well, this is something we can look forward to and look at with optimism?
Yeah, I mean, you asking that question makes me think that I've been really negative this whole time. I didn't think I was.
I think it's been fair.
I'm just trying to be real. Like, yeah, I think that's part of his reality. So, yeah, I mean, like, listen, we just named a bunch of things that Greg Gard and his staff do well. So focus on that. I think the recent bump in in-state recruiting for Luke Fickell is something that can give a fan hope. I think that's some positive progress with that program. And now none of it really matters until you deliver on the field in September. That program's got to take that program has to take a step forward in the fall, right? We have to see that. But this recent recruiting surge is something to build on. I hope fans will continue to put their attention towards the non-revenues or some of the low revenues, right? Men's hockey's in the Frozen Four.
Yep.
Let's give that program some attention. Mike Hastings has done an amazing job. He's a really good guy, the right guy for that program. Mark Johnson's coming off another national championship in women's hockey. Kelly Sheffield has the volleyball program rolling. Paul Wilkins has done a great job in women's soccer. And there are, for everything we've talked about, money, there are a ton of athletes on this campus who are actual student athletes and wear the W with pride and show loyalty, you know, each and every year. So I think as a writer, and I guess maybe I'm talking to myself more than what you or what fans should focus on, I'm going to continue to focus on that stuff. I'm going to try to find really, really good stories to tell to balance some of this business that I have to write about, because that draws interest too. But yes, I think this university as a whole is still something to be proud of. It is at a critical time, I think, in terms of what's going to happen next. But that doesn't mean that there's all bad stories to tell. I think there's a lot of positive things on this campus. And, you know, you just got to it comes down to an individual and how you choose to look at things.
And I think a lot of it is the expectation side of it. And I said it before, at this point, you know, Wisconsin and football, basketball school, I've said before, it's a women's athletic school because they've been excelling in one of the best in the country with that. Even the women's basketball team had one of the better years for them, and yeah. I feel like they're on the rise. So, like, there is plenty to be excited about. And for me, for basketball, I've just changed my expectations of – look, like, I went to Florida Atlantic University. That final 4 year was insane. But now it's more of like, look, if the Badgers made Sweet 16, like, that's to me like an A-plus season, because that means Gard maximized everything he has out there. And I've just put championships on the back burner for basketball, not because anything the players or the coaches are doing wrong. It's just a matter of I don't want to be disappointed. I want to be excited. So they made Sweet 16. I'm going to give that year an A-plus, because in this day and age, that's a heck of a run for Greg Gard. And for football this year, I like the in-state kids. I think there was maybe it's harder to build a football program, and I think Luke Fickell also playing catch-up from maybe some bad hires early. I like Grimes. I like the staff. And for football this year, if they get six or seven wins, and hang around the other ones, that is massive progress over a team that felt lucky to get 5 wins last year and was very disappointing 5 wins the year before that. So for me, it's a lot about changing expectations, and if it looks like football is moving in the right direction, that is enough for me. I guess that's how I look at it, Jim. I'm not sure how you look at other ones, but I do agree with the idea that there are really elite athletic programs here at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm interested in if fans, you know, because I don't come at it from a fan perspective. Yeah. I think that's it's hard for me to view it. But do fans agree with you, Jim? Are fans ready to change their expectations? And I guess I'm specifically talking about men's basketball.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. And for everything I just said, you know, Greg Gard has done a tremendous job. I think he's gotten a lot of bang for his buck. Does he need to get over the hump at some point and get to a Sweet 16 for people to view him differently? Maybe, probably, yes. It depends, I think, again, on the individual.
Yep.
But, you know, I think you want to have hope. No matter what program we're talking about, I think you want to have hope. Football is a little bit tougher to find that hope, but like you said, the schedule's a little bit lighter. There's been a recent uptick in in-state recruiting. You got a quarterback that you can at least go into the fall intrigued about. We'll see what happens. I mean, I'm looking forward to the game starting. I really am. I don't go in with a sense of dread. I think there's – I'm a storyline guy, and I think there's a lot of good stories to tell. So
you and Jason Wilde. Yeah, there are plenty of great stories to tell there. I don't think they teach that at Wisconsin State Journal, but, yeah, the storyline is
– I learned it from Wilde.
Yeah.
I stole that right from his mouth.
all right, Jim, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for hopping on with us.
Yeah, sorry I was late, guys. Have a good rest of the week.
All right, thanks, enjoy. Enjoy the rest of your week, too. That was Jim Polzin on the Yuengling guest hotline. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin. For Pablo and Riley, I'm Jim Rutledge. This has been The Jump Around on the ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels.